looking at that second reading. First one, Ruth, we're just sort of going through and hearing that story. The second one, Luke, is part of the Sermon on the Plain series we're looking at. There are Bibles. If you don't have one, it's great to have a Bible open in front of you. It's good to check out what I'm saying and see it in its context and things. There are Bibles, if you need one, in the bin at the back there. It's a box at the back in the foyer. And they're there if you'd like them. Now, let's get into it. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Or as we have it in this passage from the Bible we just heard, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Now, these words have become some of the most quoted words in the Bible. They may be the most quoted words in the general kind of secular press and books and websites and certainly in politics. And you can bet the next time a Christian says something publicly that is judgmental or even seems judgmental, these words of Jesus will be quoted many times. For a long time, the most famous verse in the Bible was almost certainly John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But now, judge not is right up there with it, maybe even ahead of it, certainly in some circles, which is interesting. It seems the love of God in Christ is being eclipsed in Western society. Do not judge is probably more popular than God so loved the world. And there are a number of reasons for that. One is that a lot of people, including unfortunately a lot of Christians, have been very judgy, and people have reacted against that. But another is that one of the stunning things about Jesus is the way he does speak into the deep longings of the human heart in every generation. In different generations, there are different longings, and perhaps do not judge has done that in recent generations. Seeing as these words have become so prominent over the last years, it's vital that we hear them rightly, as Jesus intended, in their context. That's what we're doing today as we continue to work through the Sermon on the Plain. Because in Luke's Gospel, don't judge, that saying is found in the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus gives this blueprint for a life that seems upside down. It's very unsettling, and if you've been listening closely and paying along, you will have been unsettled because it's like that. But it's also absolutely brilliant, and it's powerful and transformative, this picture of life Jesus gives here. And as we saw at the beginning of the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus was speaking to two groups, to the crowds that had gathered around who were interested in him but hadn't really committed to following him, and to his disciples who were committed to follow him. And the words that we're reading in the Sermon of the Plain, have I been saying Sermon on the Plain or Sermon on the Mount? I meant Sermon on the Plain. The words that we've been reading in the Sermon on the Plain were particularly aimed at his disciples, his followers. But also they're there for others to hear so they can see what being a follower of Jesus looks like, what it should look like, and indeed Jesus' idea of what a good life, right life looks like. And the passage is found on page 837 of the Church Bibles, Luke chapter 6, beginning verse 37. We're going to consider it in three connected parts: generous judgment, being like the generous judge, and then generous judgment, the key. And then, and this is the dangerous bit we need to be brave for, we'll consider what this message means for our lives a bit more deeply. So as we dig into it, let's pray. Father, please do give us courage to hear what you are saying to us this morning. Honesty with ourselves. Courage and honesty before you. We pray that you'd work in us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, generous judgment. Jumping into verse 37, Jesus says those most famous words: do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive. Be giving. In many ways, that sounds attractive. We usually, on the whole, don't like the idea of judging, being judgy. It's been one of the big no-nos in our society for a while. For a couple of decades, just about the only thing you've been allowed to judge people for is for judging. We've been very quick to judge people for being judgmental. But for all the do not judge that goes around, do not condemn, for all that that appeals to us, the trouble is we're actually not very good at it. In reality, we judge people all the time. We judge them for the clothes they wear, We condemn them for the things they say, for the views they have on politics or on religion. Just look at the comments on a news website or on social media, or listen to the discussions in the supermarket. Indeed, in the last few years, people have actually become more comfortable with being judgy. They might say don't judge, but on many issues, people are very happy to judge because they think those who disagree with them are just wrong or their views are harmful. And so you hear in our society in general now a lot of very strong judging language. What you're doing is wrong. This is harmful. So we judge people. We judge people for being older than us, for being more traditional than us, or being more radical than us. On one side, we call people bigots or extremists, accuse them of various phobias. On the other side, oh, by the way, which is judging people, we call them bigots, or I think we're judging people. On the other side, we call people crazy liberals or SJWs or snowflakes, and again, we're judging people. And even when it's not out loud, if we're more polite, or even if it's not in big type on the internet, we often secretly look down on people. Those of us who are Christians often find a way, and we become very good at this sometimes, find a way to talk about people judgingly without really seeming like we're judging them. But we know we actually are. Jesus says, do not judge, do not condemn. And yet sometimes, even when we're not just being judgmental in a simple way, it's actually very hard not to judge or condemn. I mean, aren't there things that we should judge? What about those who hurt vulnerable people? Shouldn't we judge child abusers? Donna Manning is a lady who was a victim in the CTV building during the February 2011 earthquake. She died in that building. And Donna's house, her family's house, was robbed while her family were waiting at the disaster site, hoping to see her. And they would never see her again. And while they were there, someone was robbing her house after an earthquake. Surely if we can't condemn that, something's wrong. Or Brenton Tarrant, who planned and executed probably the most heinous crime in New Zealand history, as he walked into those mosques a couple of years ago and shot unprepared innocent people who were not expecting it. If we can't condemn Tarrant, then there's something wrong when he does things like that. So what do we do with this? Don't judge. Well, Jesus helps us to be clear on what he means here in a number of ways. First of all, he shows us that he's speaking of an attitude of generosity, because with the measure we use, it will be measured to us. Look at the end of verse 38 again. It starts, give, and it will be given to you. And then a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Some of the details there might sound quite strange, but actually it's quite straightforward. In Palestine in that time, they had a way of making sure that they got their money's worth of grain at the market. Listen to this description of it from the commentator Craig Keener. He says, the image here is of a measuring container with as much grain as possible packed in, and then it's shaken to allow the grain to settle, and then more is poured in until it overflows. So that gave them a really good measure, a generous measure. So Jesus is using this picture here to say, if you use a good measure towards others, a good generous measure will be used towards you. As he says at the end of the verse, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now Jesus is saying this firstly regarding giving to people, our literal generosity, but also, notice the context, our attitudes to judgment and forgiveness come before it and after it. So he's talking here about that as well. So, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. With regards giving, with regards judging and condemning your attitude there. That's a fair principle. The measure you use will be measured to you. A fair principle. But if you think about it for a moment, it's a very scary principle. There's an illustration that's sometimes used of this that I think is helpful for helping us understand it. The idea of being judged by our own standards, the measure we use. Imagine someone complains to God that he's not fair in judgment. He's too harsh. So God says, okay, how about this? I'm only going to judge you by your own standards. And it turns out there's been an invisible tape recorder around your neck all your life. And the tape recorder has only recorded, it's only switched on record when you've said things like, you ought to do this, or people should really do that. So it's only recorded your words about what people should do. And it's recorded them throughout your whole life. And now you're just going to be judged by that, just according to your own words, the measure you've used. I hope you're terrified. I would be. None of us would meet the standard of the measure we use. And realizing that will make us want to be generous in judgment, as we would want the Lord to be generous to us. Yet, at the same time, we can't deny that some things are evil. And not just people who rob houses after an earthquake or who shoot innocents. Some things we have done are evil. Some things each of us have done are evil. If you don't think so, then you're not thinking carefully enough about your own actions or attitudes. We have all done things that need to be judged. But that means we need to be judged. It's a terrifying conundrum. Evil must be condemned. But in order for evil to be condemned and judged, we have to be condemned and judged too. And that leads us to our next point, being like the generous judge. Look at verses 39 and 40 with me. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Now, at first glance, again, this seems a little bit disconnected from the rest of the passage. He was talking about judgment and things before. He talks about a kind of story of judgment afterwards. But actually, there is a connection here. Jesus speaks of not following a blind guide. Jesus used this image a number of times in different ways. But here he's talking about, the general image is being careful who we follow so you don't fall into a pit, follow someone into a pit. But here, it's about who we follow in terms of judgment, attitudes to judgment, because that's the context he puts it in. We do need to be careful. We don't imitate those who are judgmental and end up becoming very judgmental ourselves. But can I just say that there is a warning here in our digital world, I think, with who we listen to, who we follow on places like YouTube or in podcasts or reading or different things like that. And it's fine, by the way, to listen to and read different people and different attitudes and things, different people's views, but be aware of the effect it has on you. And not only in terms of whether what they're saying is true or not. See, there are many people out there, including, unfortunately, Christian people, who say true things, but they do it in a way that is nothing like the character that we're called to in the scriptures. Harsh, they're sarcastic, they're hateful, they're arrogant and look down on others. They delight to be right and for others to be wrong. We need to be careful. We don't follow guides who lead us into pits of falsehood, but also guides who lead us away from being generous in our judgment as the Lord calls us to be. Just be aware of the effect those things have on you. And that's because, verse 40, Jesus speaks of being fully trained students of the teacher. We can't go above the teacher, but a fully trained student is like his teacher. And who's our teacher? Our teacher is Jesus. We need to be like him, the generous judge. There's a strong connection here, I think, back to verses 35 and 36 from the last passage we looked at. I think it's so important, those verses. The end of verse 35, look with me. And you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Like parent, like child, being like our merciful Father in heaven. Like student, like teacher, being like our generous teacher, Jesus. See, Jesus is the judge. The scriptures say that through him, God will judge the entire world. And at times, he strongly denounces and condemns things that are wrong, especially those who teach untruths about God or who exploit and oppress the poor or vulnerable. He is scathing at times in his condemnation, particularly religious people who do that. He's particularly strong about religious people who do those things. Yet, on the whole, Jesus is an incredibly generous judge. He's so merciful, so patient. With those who sinned in ways that religious people didn't like, especially, he was so patient and merciful with them. He was so kind and generous towards them. He's a generous judge. He's so generous, so courageously generous, by the way. This is not a wussy kind of generosity. This is a powerful generosity. So courageously generous that he stepped down from his judgment seat and paid our death sentence for us. That tape recorder that we talked about shows just the beginning of how guilty we are before God. But this generous judge was condemned in the place of the guilty. Guilty like you and I. So that we could go free. And his inclination, his whole purpose which drove that, was that he longs to forgive rather than judge us. He longs to give life and grace rather than condemn us. So much so that he died to forgive us and give us life and grace. He couldn't sweep our real evil under the carpet. It would be evil for him to ignore evil. So he couldn't do that. But at the same time, because of what he's done to save us, because he has justly forgiven us, he can forgive us and set us free because of what he's done. In fact, he can forgive anyone and set them free. He can forgive you and set you free. Now, if we have a teacher like that, and a merciful Heavenly Father who sent his Son to do that, how can we not have a generous attitude towards others? Surely our first inclination will be to forgive and have mercy rather than to judge or condemn. But that's hard. Because we're naturally judgmental in so many ways, and we live in a society that's more and more divided, and where each side is quick to judge the other, and where people think judging's actually fine when you do that. So Jesus gives us a very helpful tool, a very practical tool. The third point, generous judgment, the key. Read verses 41 to 42 with me here. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrites! First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Little summary of that. You say to a friend, "Permit me to take the speck out of your eye." Jesus says to you, "First take the plank out of your own eye, punk." He probably didn't say punk. He says, "First take the plank out of your own eye." The idea is the key to generosity is actually a right view of our own sinfulness and brokenness. We ought to be more interested in judging our own sin, our own planks, than the sin of others. We need to be starkly aware of the planks in our own eyes before we start making a fuss about the speck of dust in someone else's eye. More interested in the mirror than the telescope when it comes to sin. And that will mean we'll be more inclined to mercy than judgment. And it's another case of doing to others what would have them do to us. Jesus just keeps coming back to these ideas, doesn't he? He must think we need to hear them. Now, I think Christians need to get better at this. I know I do. And when we look at those who looted Donna Manning's house, or we look at Brenton Tarrant, or we look at the child abuser, we need to remember that we have that same kind of sinfulness in us. It might come out differently, but we are made of the same stuff. For some of us, it may have come out the same way. I don't want to assume that that's not the case because Jesus has come to save everybody. But we are all, whether we've done things that seem as big as that or not, we are all made of the same stuff. We're not as squeaky clean as some of us like to think we look. Our motives are not so pure. At heart, we're just like those who do the worst things because our hearts are sinful. And if we see that, if we focus on the plank in our own eye, we'll have humility towards those who do wrong or those that we see the world differently. Our first reaction will be like God's, which is mercy. Not endorsing evil behavior. Not pretending it isn't evil. Not playing down the evil of it. Leaving room, indeed, for judgment of such evil and the pain it causes. But being merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful, first and foremost. We'll treat others, as far as judgment goes, the way we want to be treated when we're judged by our Lord. The way that we have been treated by our merciful teacher. So, what's this going to look like for us in our time? Well, here's two starting points for generosity in a world of judgment. First of all, judging versus being judgmental. I think most of us, and many of us at least, fear others thinking that we're judging them. But I think what people are often objecting to when they think we're judging them is actually people who are judgmental. Not so much that we have views they don't like, but that we don't listen to them or are quick to judge them and don't show love to them. Now, it's true that sometimes, let's be clear, even if we're as loving as we can possibly be, some people will take offense at our views and call us judgmental. That's the way it goes. But most of the time, it's at least as much the way we deal with people as it is the views we hold. That means if we take this attitude that Jesus commands us to have here and see our own sin first, our own planks first, and we realize the great mercy we've been shown, we're less likely to come off as judgmental. Even when we hold Christian views that are controversial, like Jesus being the only way to God, which he is, like Christian sexual morality or gender issues, where the scriptures are quite clear. I remember once being told by a woman who was bisexual that she enjoyed talking to me because I didn't judge her. Now, you could have knocked me over with a feather because we were talking about issues around sexuality most of the time. And I took a very, very different view to hers, and her view wasn't just an idea. It was her life we were talking about. It was personal. And you could have knocked me over the feather when she said that, but I think what she meant was this. Even though I differed from her in that key area we were discussing, by God's grace, she felt that I'd listened to her, I'd spoken gently, and I'd made it clear that I was just as much of a sinner as she was, and that she was just as much of a precious creation of God, made in his image, as I was. Must have been a good week for me. The fact is, though, I do know that when it comes to sexuality, I am just as broken as her. I might express it in a different way, but I'm just as broken. I'm just as much a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of mercy too. The lists of things that her sin comes up in, my sins come up in as well. See, the speck and the plank thing is so helpful when we're dealing with people we differ from. And that's important to remember. One, so we don't just be judgmental, but also for another reason. Sometimes we overcorrect as Christians in this area. We withdraw from people or from discussing hard issues because we're so worried that people will see us as judgmental. Sometimes Christians even move away from the views of Scripture in controversial areas because they fear being seen as judgmental. But if we do that, that's unfaithful to Jesus. If we move away from the scriptural views on things, it's unfaithful to Jesus. Instead, we need to make sure we have our eyes firmly open to our own planks and keep remembering God's mercy to us. Then we'll be able to make right judgments without being judgmental. Now, we may still at times be called judgmental. I want to be clear about that because I don't want someone to come to me saying, I did all these things and then they still call me judgmental. Sometimes that'll happen. Sometimes that'll happen. Well, you can come to me and say, oh, we'll pray together and we'll feel sad together about it, but we'll pray. But the point is, if we do that, if we put the focus on the planks in our own eye first, then we'll be doing all we can to avoid being judgmental and we'll be following what Jesus says to do. And that's all we can do. Secondly, for what this generous attitude looks like, it starts on the inside. It's worth reflecting a bit on our hearts in the light of Jesus' challenge here. Particularly if you're feeling like, oh, I don't know about this, then please let Jesus speak to you on this. We've seen clearly today that our inclination to forgive and show mercy, to be generous, ought to be our first response to those we differ with. We ought to see the planks before we focus on their specks. But is that your first reaction, really? I know for me too often it's not. And one little diagnostic tool to help us be honest with ourselves about this is to notice how you speak of people who do wrong things. What we say often shows up what's really in our heart. We'll see more of that next week. I didn't get that idea out of the air. Jesus, again, slams that next week, so we'll talk about that more next week. But do take notice of what comes out of your mouth about those who do something wrong or those whose lifestyle you don't agree with. Catch yourself when you're inclined to be judgmental. Listen to the way you speak of them, not just what you say, but the way you speak. Do you speak in a way you would never want someone to speak of you if you did something wrong? So watch what comes out of your heart through your mouth. But what do you do when you find yourself being judgmental? When you find yourself looking down on others? If we're honest, we all find that more than we would like. And the way to address it is not to say, stop being judgmental. Stop being judgmental, Chris. Stop being judgmental. I can say that till I'm blue in the face. It won't work. No, the way to address it is to remember what drives all of this. To look at our Savior, our teacher, our generous judge. Look at his wonderful character, his merciful attitude to others, and above all, his merciful attitude to me, to you. And look at the cross on which he died. And see your sin painted bold and red. Your sin, like mine, is great. Or else Jesus would not have had to die for us. Our sin is great. We have no place to look down on others. But our Savior has so thoroughly forgiven us, rather than condemning us, that we can do the same. How can we not be like our teacher, our Heavenly Father? Yes, recognizing evil for what it is. Yes, calling evil evil. And yet above all, having a generous attitude to judgment, as our Lord calls us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that our hearts so often are evil. And yet you have judged us so generously in our Lord Jesus. You've not wiped evil under the carpet or hidden it away. You've not just put a blanket over it and pretended it doesn't exist. You've dealt with it fully in the cross of our Savior. And you've done that in your mercy and your forgiveness, your generosity towards us. So please give us hearts and words and actions and attitudes that are like yours. Amen.